Chris.
I'm Buddy.
And I'm Kara, and welcome to The Business Experience.
Now it's time to meet your hosts. Dr. Chris Alexander has founded over 5 businesses. Kara Turner is the founder of a B2B marketing agency. And Buddy Powers has perfected the product development and commercialization process. Let's get into the episode.
So today we are talking about work-life balance, if there's such a thing, how you manage it, how you do it, your opinions on it. So this time I was able to pull some statistics.
Yay.
So these statistics are for younger generations.
Not 50-year-olds.
No, not 50-year-olds. Some of them said 60% of employees say they're able to efficiently balance work and personal commitments, which I thought that was a pretty decent statistic. But 77% did say that they've experienced burnout at their current job. So don't really understand how those two go together.
Yep.
But okay, we're going to go with it. And then 83% of workers say that their personal relationships are negatively impacted by burnout from work.
Yeah. I'd like to know who are the 17% who say, it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. They're probably single.
Yeah.
And probably not because of work. It's probably more a personality thing. Oh, God, is that why I'm single?
Yeah, I don't know. I am not going down that road.
I thought I heard a yes before you said that.
Yes, all right, I might have some self-reflection after
she's
this.
She's turning red. That's great.
I embarrassed myself. Okay, back to the podcast. So, Chris, do you believe that it's possible to have a work-life balance?
You know, I do, and we were talking a little bit before. I think you have to decide what you want, right? So if you... And I'll just kind of throw it out for myself. Early on, I decided I want to make money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of the things. And I can't say I was necessarily greedy, but it's like if I'm gonna have a career, I want to do something where I can make money. In order to do that, you have to work a lot. You know, you're going to have to work a lot of hours. And so fortunately, I married someone whose dad was an airline pilot. And, you know, my father-in-law was gone all the time, and they managed to make it work. So, you know, I knew when I started dating Tanya that that was someone that would allow me to work a lot. So that's part of it. The other thing was technology. And so I started working in 1993 before anybody had laptops. Most people didn't even have computers. And so in the mid-90s and late 90s, we started getting laptops so I could work from home. And so I'd get home from work, I'd play with the girls and put them to bed. And then from typically 9 to midnight, sometimes 9 to 1 o'clock, I would go back to work. And so to me, that was kind of our balance. But I'm here to tell you, if you took probably most people and put them into that, they would say you're way out of balance. But we've managed to make it work. You know, Tanya and I have been married 30 years, and I think we have a wonderful marriage. But, you know, and God's blessed us financially and those kind of things. But I've had to work a lot in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So one person's balance is not another person's balance.
Yes.
That's right. And that's a growth thing. I think perception and reality is where I would like to focus on, because I sense and hear about how hard people work, but I'm always like, oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I grew up in a house where my dad worked 6 days a week. I never saw him on the weekends hardly. He was in the offshore business, and he helped build out the shelf in the Gulf of Mexico in this, you know, the 70s and 80s. And it was incredible to see him come in at a young age and really, you know, launch his career, because people were moving around for another extra buck an hour. But it elevated him very quickly, and he took on that responsibility. It benefited him later on in his career, but those initial years when I was growing up in New Orleans, I never saw my dad.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't a bad thing for me, because I learned what actually hard work meant when we were together. It was very meaningful, and it built a lot of things in me that I will never forget. It's what you decide to do, and again, what your spouse will allow you to do. My mom, she liked the money, and she liked to be able to travel, and so ended up traveling the world, you know, when his career was with, you know, Fluor and doing a lot of different things in the offshore market in the Middle East. It was incredible. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but, you know, your spouse is a big reason why you do that. For me, I've brought along people and trained people that think they're working hard, and I think it's a perception and reality thing. You can work harder and make more money, or you can work smarter and make, you know, maybe not the same amount of money. I feel like, you know, how you decide really is your significant other. And as a man, that's really where I gauge it. If it's too much on her. So when my wife and I had four kids in a 6-year window, that was a lot of stress on her because I was traveling, right? And we were building a new technology, a new company, and I was traveling around. Like I said, I've been in a lot of places, and it was a great experience for me. But, you know, she was the one that was taking care of me.
Well, in real honesty, Christy's the one who defines if you have a work-life balance, not you.
That's right? Correct. That's a great way to summarize my point.
If she's happy, then you're okay. If she's not happy, you're out of balance.
Exactly. And I, you know, and I don't mean to be harsh on kids, but I lived it. Kids are resilient.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as there's a parent home, they're not doing much, you know, without.
Yes.
And I just, the way I feel about it.
Yeah. So I have a unique view on this because I was the stay-at-home spouse to a very successful man who worked a lot.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he did work a lot and made great money, and I got to stay at home with our children. Right. So I never thought our life was out of balance because that was my role. My job was to stay at home and be with the kids, like y'all's wives. Yeah. And then he worked. So, but then when I became single later on in life, then I had the opposite where I decided, you and I have talked about this, like, I don't love working the way you love working. Yeah. I love the ladies I work with. I love my job, but that's not what drives me. My children are what drive me. So I started this company with you so that way I could spend more time focusing on my children, or I would say probably an equal amount of time.
You can control the work-life balance. Right?
I can control it. I knew that if I went to work for someone, that it's a lot harder to control. So luckily my children are older, so they don't need me quite as much as they did like when I was a stay-at-home mom. So it is interesting to see it from both perspectives of a stay-at-home wife and then a full-time working mom.
So maybe next you should interview our wives.
That would be awesome.
That would actually be really good. Yeah.
And I said your wife stays at home, but she's worked, hasn't she?
Yeah, she took 6 years off. She's a teacher, dyslexia specialist, but all of that was built around the kids.
Yes.
She was home when the kids are home summer.
So that was kind of what I did with my business. I wanted to be able to get them to school in the morning and then be home around the time that they come home, and I'm able to do that.
Right.
But because of that, my career has grown slower than if I could just work all the time nonstop and have someone at home with the kids. So I think perception, it is a lot about perception and your choices.
Reality.
Yeah. So as people that we all manage people, I think it's one thing for us to have a work-life balance. People who are in upper-level management or own companies, you pretty much know that you're just going to be working harder and longer than what sometimes your employees do. But how can we help manage our employees' work-life balances alongside them?
Yeah.
What do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I think that's another perception and reality, whereas employers, they come at you with, you're going to have a great work-life balance. It's fun to work here. You get to maybe work from home, certain hybrid systems, and then when you get to work, you know, really they want you to be productive and work hard and you know, make them money. That's what you're there for. In scenarios where you're in the business development or you're driving sales for an organization, you're naturally going to be driven by your goals and some of the things that you want to do in terms of economics and monetary accomplishments. But yeah, for me, I mean, just overall, managing that time is you know, truly driven by your desires and what you want to accomplish with your career. You
know? Yes.
I will say this. I find it interesting where my career drove me toward business development because I watched the oil booms and busts. You know, it was like in Louisiana, we had billboards, the last one to leave, turn out the lights. You know, there was bad times. And in fact, we actually lost our house. And so you have a man that's worked, working 60, 70 hours a week and is very good at his profession, but he has no control over the employment. So mm-hmm. when you get into a business development or, you know, some type of role as an entrepreneur or a business owner, you can control that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't have to worry about being laid off. But interesting enough, that's one of the things that drives me that I didn't realize until it was fleshed out about 10 years ago when I started to get into, you know, why, you know, what is the why? What makes you driven to go to work every day? And, you know, and there's a lot of different things. It's very complicated. But one of those things is just growing up and watching my dad, you know, work so hard, but actually have to follow the cycle of yeah. oil.
Yeah, yes. That's really good. It's funny how we're influenced by our parents.
Yeah, we don't even realize
the environment, and it's subconscious. You don't mm-hmm. think about it.
You don't.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Chris, how do you help your people manage work-life balance so they don't get too out of whack?
Yeah, and Kara, that's a hard one because mm-hmm. I mean it's hard enough to manage yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But then and so that you know, for someone who really likes to work, I think I'm a lot better than I was probably 5 or 10 years ago, is that I knew there were people, like when we started ADD, there were people who did not want to come work here because they're like, Chris works all the time. He's going to expect that, right? And I know it. There were a couple of people that are like, yeah, I don't want to work as hard as you do. So I think the first thing is you need to find out what the employee wants. You know, what do they want in life? Is work-life balance really important to them? Well, if it's important to them and they're a good employee, then it needs to be important to me mm-hmm. as a manager. I think the other thing is to help the employee understand what you know, where do they want to be in 5 or 10 years? Mm-hmm. And if their goal is like, well, you know, I want my wife to stay home, or I want to travel the world in order to do that, well, you're going to have to make more money, you know, so you may have to work 50 or 60 hours a week. And so you just mm-hmm. need to understand that. So I think Buddy said something really well is what I notice is all of our senior guys, we all work a fair number of hours. And it's not 80 hours a week, but sometimes it is, you know, but none of us work 20 or 30 hours a week, mm-hmm. right? But financially, we're the benefactors of that. I think the other thing is you have to set an example. It's like you can't expect people to work hard if you're not willing to work hard. And I've been in organizations where that was the case. It's like the people that I was reporting to, they're not working hard. They're working 20 hours a week, you know, and the organization's not growing. So to me is our culture is we're growing, and you know, we've talked about the past couple of podcasts, we're growing at 50 to 56% a year, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know that that's sustainable, but I say that every year, and then we get to the other year, and it's like, well, gosh, we did it again. I'm not so sure for a while, for another 3 or 4 years, if we can't sustain that, but part of our culture is we're hard workers, and if we get somebody who comes in and they're kind of laid back, and they show up late, and they leave early, this may not be the place for you. I've got a long list of companies where you probably could go and have a pretty good career, but it's probably not going to be
yes.
here.
And I've said I'm more laid back with work when it comes to you, comparing the two of us, yeah. but my company grew 60% also.
Sure.
So yeah. not too laid back, obviously, yeah, otherwise exactly. we wouldn't right. have that. So one thing I've noticed with managing people, so my ladies have unlimited vacation.
Right.
And I check in with them very regularly. We have weekly meetings on projects, and I'm always saying, can you get this done? Can you make this deadline? Do I need to call a client? And I build in wiggle room in there too, so we don't have to like reschedule timelines with clients. But I think checking in with people regularly and just watching them, I can tell when mine are getting a little frazzled yeah. and I'll just say, hey, stay on this meeting with me after we get off. And I'll talk to him. I had yeah. that happen the other day. I asked one of my ladies to stay on after our Monday meeting and yeah. just checked in with her. And she was like, I'm fine. And I was like, okay, that's great. But you're going to take Friday off. And yeah. Sometimes I'll take them to the spa on a Friday and have crazy yeah. stories yeah. from that.
For another podcast.
Yes. But one thing, I did lose a lady once to burnout. Mm-hmm. And it really made me reflect on my management style and how I run my business. And I wanted to make sure that I was protecting them, but I learned what some people just have to learn to set boundaries themselves.
Right.
So you can try and protect your employees' work-life balance as much as possible, but if they go home and still work and don't put it down, you can't control
that's
that.
That's not your fault.
Yes. Yeah, right. So it does, it's a, you have to be self-aware and you have to like realize what you want mm-hmm. and then yeah. your perception, like you feel like you're working hard, but in reality, are you really working hard or are you just like not working
smart.
Yeah. So I think there's only so much an employer can do to protect it, but I do think the company culture and your management really kind of drives that in their employees.
Right. Right.
Daphne, well, any last piece of advice on this?
When this is to start?
You, buddy.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Usually Chris goes first.
I'm breaking it up.
I know. You're keeping me on my toes. You know, I think the common perception is you would rather have to pull back on the reins than to whip, mm-hmm. you know, the employee in terms
better
of just
pull back and push.
Yes. Exactly. Push is a better word than whip, probably. It was the horse analogy.
Can you edit that out?
HR, please don't listen.
But I think, you know, overall, what we're trying to go after, and in my particular field, some of the best salespeople are actually ones that are lazy and want to try to work smarter than harder. So in that profession, there's a difficult balance, because if you're not smart, you can be smiling and dialing all day, and you're not making any growth in your business. Mm-hmm. So you picture the Wolf of Wall Street, where they all are jumping around in a room and they're trying to get themselves ready, and they have a telephone book that they're calling, right? If you don't have some strategic principles applied to that, and then you have a strategy, you're lost, right? You're just smiling and dialing. So I think, you know, going back to working smarter and having a good work-life balance, but the people that are always available want to have customer service, that's number one. But there are going to be seasons where, you know, and this is seasons or months, right, where you're working very, very hard to build your business.
Right.
And I know that you had that, and I've had that, and you're going through that or kind of coming out of that. But, you know, getting it, breaking that inertia and getting it, you know, sort of launching it is probably some of the most difficult times, and you're going to put in a lot of work there.
Yep. Yes, I think when you say work-life balance, how I picture it is sometimes you're working a lot and you're working really hard, and then other times you don't have to work quite as hard. And that's the balance.
Right.
It's not that it's you work and are at home balanced. It's like up and down, and overall it balances out.
Exactly. That's a good way of seeing it.
Yes.
Peaks and valleys.
I think, yes. I think
Shaving.
Chandra Rhimes did like a commencement speech on that, I think. Okay. I'm not sure.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. But yeah, who knows? It could have been someone else.
Sounded really believable.
Somebody said something about that topic.
Yeah. I should have said it with more authority, and then everyone would have believed
it. Wow, you got a quote in.
Character.
All right, Chris, any last advice?
Yeah, I think some of it's priorities. You know, it's like, I mean, kind of, you know, in my life, I mean, God's priority, you know, serving Jesus, and then family, and then work. And so there are times, though, I mean, I like your peaks and valleys. There's times that sometimes work is more important. I mean, my advice, you know, I'm not sure the average age of the person listening, but if you're early in your marriage, that's a good time to work really hard, you know, because it's just kind of the two of you, and you can kind of go at it. Then you get kids, you know, babies come along, and you want to have memories. And, you know, so the problem is if you're two in that same level of intensity when you first get married, then you have kids, they can get through it. But, you know, it's kind of like what you're saying with your dad. I mean, the challenge is your kids aren't going to remember you.
Yeah.
So realizing that's a season of life, and now I'm at, you know, my kids are gone except for one, and I'm able to work more because I don't have the little ones. But, man, when the girls were little and Aaron was little, I wanted to spend a lot of time with them. So I think you got to realize is that it is a peaks and valleys. And don't get overly frustrated. The other thing I would say is have mentors. And we, you know, we've had a podcast talked about that. Is the mentor can help you maintain the work-life balance. It's like for you, it's Ray Lewis. For me, it was Joe Fowler. And, you know, my dad. And so you talk to people about it, and they can speak wisdom into your life from the outside.
Yes.
So that's super important. I think the other thing is just don't get stressed out about it. You know, you're going to have to work, find a career where you want to work, and then that helps you maintain that balance more effectively.
Yes, and people you like working with.
Exactly.
Then it doesn't feel as much.
Because it's
like
fun.
Work.
You know, if you enjoy coming to work, then it doesn't seem as bad.
Yeah, very true. All right. Well, we don't have a topic picked out for our next podcast. Do we want to pick one like now?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. You were very sure. I wasn't so sure. So what do you think?
Yeah. So I think maybe we should talk more about the, you know, when we talk about business experience and we talk about the client journey and the strategies to work on that. I think I'd like to flesh that out a little bit.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
I've got another one.
Okay.
since we all manage people and we've done it for is some good management techniques, you know, and so and part of it could be knowing when to hire and when to fire, you know, so I think that'd be a good thing because that's the hardest part of the job is the managing parts, the people part.
That's good.
So that would be a good one. And we probably could do a couple of episodes out of something like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, that sounds good. All right. Join us next time where we're going to be talking about one of these two topics.
Three or four.
Yes. We'll see you then.
Thanks. Bye.